Timothy? Chapter 4. I'll read the first 5 verses. Thank you, brother. Hear the word of God. The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. It is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Fairest Lord Jesus Christ, you are the narrow road. Holy Spirit, you have placed us in Christ. You have given us saving faith. We are joined to the triune God. You give us these warnings, Almighty God, in Scripture. They are frightening, and you mean by them to keep your elect children in the path of Christ and in the path of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ alone and in the path of truth and orthodoxy. We pray, Lord, that we would all have the requisite faith and you would break the remaining power of sin in our lives, Almighty God, through the ministry of the word, such that we would stay close to you, Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The doctrine of this particular section of Scripture is, in my opinion, very clear. We're told right away that some will fall away from the faith. The one word that summarizes falling away from the faith is apostasy. It's a word that we don't often hear in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ these days. I think there are a number of reasons for that, not the least of which is the apostasy that's occurred in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and meaning that the church, to some degree or another, the larger church, has forsaken the word of God for the word of man. And therefore, the word of men don't like to talk about falling away from the faith or don't like to talk about sad things like apostasy, but the Bible does speak about it. So it's here. And since I am a Bible preacher, at least I labor to be a Bible preacher, and I preach through books, we're going to be looking at this. So the particular doctrine, again, as I say, is the falling away from the faith. And the falling away of the faith is seen in a particular expression. We're told it's a doctrinal apostasy. And it has an intellectual, a propositional element, but it also has a practical element. And so there's a falling away from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see it in the addition of man-made religious rules. A form of asceticism, don't marry, don't eat, don't touch, those kind of things. The Apostle Paul says, in I think Romans chapter 11, if you add one work of man to the gift of Almighty God, grace of God in Christ, you destroy grace. So when someone says, I'm saved by grace, but I believe I'm saved by my graced works, which is the church of my youth, the Roman church, that's to deny what grace truly is. Grace is free gift. 100% frequent. Okay. So what's going on is these people are falling away from the faith of Christ crucified. Jesus pays it all. They're somehow attributing religious merit or righteousness to their own law-keeping, in this case, asceticism, celibacy, or abstaining from foods. So there's a religious significance, but it proves an apostasy from the truth of the gospel. That's what we're going to hope to unpack. Again, if you're visiting, you think, why in the world would I choose such a subject? I didn't, I promise. I just pick a book and we plow through the book. And so what we're looking at is, I would say, a blemish of the church. And the book of 1 Corinthians is about the government of the church, the government of the minister of the church, but it's about the church. And clearly what God is showing us here in chapter 4 is some warts or blemishes or sins in and among the people of God, a blemish in the church. Now, are there benefits about looking at the blemishes among God's people? Clearly, the Bible says these things are written for your instruction. So this is meant for our religious instruction. There is religious truth that we need to embrace by looking at the blemishes among God's people, even the apostasy among God's people. I read in my morning worship practice, my private practice, I read a Puritan sermon, I read the Bible, I sing, and I pray. That's my practice. And I'm reading through a collective series of George Whitefield's sermons. And in one of George Whitefield's sermons, he argues in favor for us as believers to read regularly biographies of eminent Christian men. And he's not the first guy to have promoted this. And it's a way to engender our faith, to look at real live Christians, not in the Bible per se, but men and women like ourselves, and to encourage ourselves in the faith by looking at the lives that they lived. And as I mentioned, he's not the first guy to recommend this. It's been my practice for a long time, but it's a common practice among some of these eminent figures of faith like George Whitefield to regularly read Christian biographies. And I recommend the practice to you. But he offers this gentle critique of reading of the biographers themselves. He said, often is the case that when you read a biography on some Christian saint, that they leave off all the blemishes. They don't show you the warts. They don't show you the wrinkles. They don't show you their sins. And all you're left with is an almost perfect believer. And if you read Christian biographies on a regular basis, I do, you leave thinking, well, they're walking on water. I mean, if you read something on Matthew Henry translated the Bible from Ugaritic when he was 3 years old. I mean, I'm being silly. But there's no blemish. There are no blemishes. And so the only person that we could look at and say all perfection, all goodness, all righteousness is Christ. The great downside to reading a biography that doesn't show you any warts of the believer is it leaves you with this kind of thinking. Well, if that's what a Christian is, he wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning because he's gone to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. He reads the Bible 10 times before breakfast, and then he goes around helping the poor all day long while he's reading the Bible. If that's what a Christian is, I'm not a Christian. That's the danger. The danger of looking at a believer that you don't see any difficulties, any blemishes, is you conclude you're not a believer. Why? Because when you wake up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth, you think, I've already sinned 5 times and I've just brushed my teeth for 5 minutes. You see your warts and faults and failures, don't you? And certainly if you're in a marriage, your spouse sees you. If you're in a family, your kiddos see it. Because we're real live Christians. And then he goes on to say, Whitefield does, the benefit of looking at blemishes, which is what God is showing us in this passage. He says, but God's word doesn't write like that. God's word doesn't write like the biographers of some Christian saints. What does God's word say? Well, then there's a guy named Noah, righteous man. He was a graced man. Of all the people of the earth, God saw Noah had his favor, and he saved Noah and his 8-person family. But then what's the first thing that Noah does after he gets off the ark and everything else? He makes sacrifice. After he makes sacrifice, what does he do? He gets drunk and lays around with his pants off. Wow. That's a man who is graced by God, loved by God, used by God, and he gets drunk. How about Father Abraham? Friend of God. Father Abraham, friend of God, the father of the Jews. He's the prototypical believer. We have the faith of Abraham in Christ, the prototypical believer. What about Father Abraham? Hey, is that your wife? No, it's not my wife. It's my sister. Wink, wink. Honey bunch, I'll pick you up in the morning. I hope you're safe. Wink, wink. You would be at divorce court. Husband, if you dropped your wife off with some other guy and said, honey bunch, don't tell him about me. Hope you're okay. Pick you up in the morning. You're going to divorce court or jail, right? That's Father Abraham. Then we have David, who cheats and commits adultery and then kills the husband to cover over it and lies. And then in the New Testament, what do we have? Peter. Peter, the rock of the church. I swear to God, may God curse me to hell. I don't know Jesus. Those are blemishes, beloved. And those are blemishes in real, live, Christ-loving believers. These are Bible-loving, Christ-loving believers, but they're full of warts. And does the Bible record those warts for us to go, wow, look at them. Let's look down our snoots at them. No, it's the exact opposite. Unlike those Christian biographers who show you nothing but pure stuff, nothing but perfect, the Bible says, here are my children. I save sinners. And I continue to use sinners who continue to sin, and I continue to forgive, and I can continue to use. And what does that do for us, beloved? We continue to sin, do we not? We conclude, well, if God can save a drunk, if God can save a liar, if God can save a fornicator, if God can save a murderer, then what? Then God can save me. Then God can save me. And these people committed these sins as Christians, as professing believers. Sometimes we think, well, the bad folks are out yonder. Oh, no. Oh, no, beloved. The bad folks are out yonder, and then the bad folks come into the church and sit in the pew, and then the bad folks get in the pulpit. We still sin. Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save the what? Lost. He didn't come for the righteous. It's the person that says, I'm righteous, that says he doesn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have, again, I'm just looking in a macro view. God shows us the church, members of the church, with blemishes. Because it's true. It is true. I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. Sometimes people who are not Christians, they go to church once, or they said they went to church once, and they said, well, I went into church, and I found that the Christians there are sinners, they're not perfect, so I never went back, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, I think that's such a load of rot gut. You didn't leave because you saw some Christians who aren't perfect. This very same people who say that are the very same kind of people that look at Jesus, the Lord of glory, and say what? He's a friend of harlots and drunks. He's a tool of the devil. People don't stay away from the church because Christians sin. People stay away from the church because they hate Christ. They don't love holiness. They hate the cross. And if you come into a church, are you going to see Christians that still sin? Yes, you will. And should God the Holy Spirit still mortify our sin? And should we live a Christ-adorning life? Yes. But beloved, when you hear someone tell you, I don't go to church because hypocrites are there, know that you're talking to a person that's bereft of faith in Christ. So the Bible shows us these things because they're true. There are two main reasons why there are blemishes in the church. I have said this. I don't know if I came up with it. I doubt that I did. Nothing that I say is true or good I came up with. All human beings have one or two problems, either a justification problem or a sanctification problem. Justification problem is you're not in Christ. You're not a true believer. So one of the reasons why we have apostates, those who fall away from the truth of Christ, those who are hypocrites, play actors, they're not believers. They're not real believers. They're goats among the sheep, tares among the wheat. The Bible says that when God freed Israel up out of Egypt, they came up out of Egypt as a mixed multitude. Beloved, it's easy to say the sinner's prayer, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I could train a smart parrot to say that. That doesn't make the parrot a believer, does it? No. What makes a believer a believer? You must be born again from the Holy Spirit. Only those who are born again from the Holy Spirit and say Jesus is Lord are truly born again. The rest are part of that mixed multitude, whereas Paul tells Timothy, they're hypocrites. The word hypocrite means play actor. They're fakes. They're phonies. They say they're joined to Jesus, but they're just joined to the church by baptism or by profession, but they're not born again. They're not true Christians. So one of the reasons why we see blemishes or defecting in the church is because there are false professors among true professors. Justification problem. The second reason why there are blemishes in the church is the sanctification problem. The true believers were tempted to sin and we succumb to sin. Can you be a true believer? Let's say an instance here. There's some false teaching. Can you be smitten with a false teacher for a while and go, wow, he's really good. Sister Sally can really preach up a storm. I'm loving Prophetess Deborah. Wow, she's awesome. Can you be schnookered for a time as a true believer, and then the Holy Spirit wakes you up, and then you say, what was I doing? I should get back down to Covenant OPC. Could you do that? Yes. So there's the justification problem, the false among the true. But then even the true, we're tempted to things which titillate or appeal to our flesh. And that's this. That's this. So we believe in election because the Bible teaches it. Well, if you're elect, why does God warn us? Because the warnings keep the elect of God in the path of Jesus. Don't fall away. Okay, I'm not falling away. Don't fall away. Okay, I'm not falling away. Look out for this. I'm going to look out for this. So it's not the possibility of a true believer losing their salvation. It's the elect of God being kept in the path of Christ, walking closely with Jesus by the warning of Almighty God. That's what's going on. So there are benefits, salvific sanctification benefits, by looking at the blemishes in the church. That's what's going on. Now let me make a connection between today's passage dealing with blemishes and last week's passage dealing with blessings. So this week we see some blemishes. Last week God said, let me summarize some of the blessings of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the blessings that the people who fall away from Christ are forsaking. And it's very, very, very important. What are people falling away from? What are they rejecting when they are falling away from the faith? And I'm going to summarize what we looked at last week in 1 Corinthians 3:14 through 16. The blessings that God gives us freely are these: that we are members of the household and the family of God. By the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are made sons and daughters of the holy God of heaven and earth. But this falling away, this embracing of a man-made religion, is forsaking that for man-made, I would say, chaff. And then the Bible says that we are the pillar and the support of the truth. And that's important for us today, beloved. We are the pillar and the support of the truth. If you can look in your Bible, back up in 1 Timothy 3:16, is this. This is the great summary of the truth that we possess, in which is found all of our blessings. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, who was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Beloved, who is that about? This is the blessing of the church. This is the blessing of you as a believer. It's about Christ. It's about the incarnation of the second person of the Godhead. And Christ took flesh that he would die for our sins and rise for our justification. That's the truth that sets us free. In Christ, every blessing of the Bible is yes and amen. This is what the apostates are falling away from. We don't want the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want Christ alone paying for our sins. It's not the cross that pays for our sins. We have to keep these ascetic rules. You should not eat meat on Fridays. You should get the ashes on the side of your head on Ash Wednesday. And the clergy should be celibate, and so on and so on and so on, for religious significance. And they're turning away from the sufficiency of Christ crucified. They're rejecting the blessings of the cross in favor of man-made, extra-canonical, extra-biblical, man-made religion. And they're forsaking the truth of the cross. So the blemishes reveal the rejection of the blessing. That's what we're looking at here. Imagine forsaking Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, in favor of what we ourselves do for ourselves. Well, that's what we're being warned against. The Bible says here again that we're looking away from at the falling away of the faith, and the falling away of the faith is shorthand for falling away from the truth of the gospel. He calls them doctrines of demons. This is not differing with another Christian on a secondary or tertiary matter. As here we use grape juice in the Lord's Supper. And you could use wine or you can use grape juice. We practice a form of guarded communion. We have brothers and sisters that practice open communion or closed communion. We differ with them. That's a secondary or tertiary matter on how we differ using the Lord's Supper. This is not differing in those things. This is somehow rejecting the simplicity of the cross, the sufficiency of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in favor of these other things that we do. Clearly, what the Word of God is telling us is these people are attributing some kind of merit or righteousness to their own practices of here celibacy or a certain kind of dietary strictures. To add to the solemnity of this passage, this is a kind of a heavy-duty passage. Look at what the Bible says in verse 1. The Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit, explicitly says in latter times some will fall away from the faith. Why is this important? Beloved, there would be some that would come into the church. I guarantee it. Oh, no. You should never say this. This is kind of a negative message. You only want to be positive 100% of the times. You don't ever want to say that people fall away. What's the comment? What's the rejoinder, beloved? God says people fall away. Oh, no, they don't. I have a 12-volume set at the house that says they don't. I have a 1-volume set that says they do. You see what he says? Don't listen to, what does he say? Lying spirits, deceitful spirits. Don't listen to lying spirits. Do listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit-inspired word over and against those who preach the words of man, which he says are lying spirits. So he's calling the minister of God to be sure to preach the word of God and nothing but the word of God, so help him God. And for us as Christians to only practice the kind of religion that is found in the clear teaching of Scripture. We are not to follow the doctrines of men. So this is a major. This is falling away from the truth of the gospel. And when he says, the Spirit of God clearly says, this is a wake-up call, I would say. Isn't there a place in the book of Ephesians, I forget where it is, that says, wake up, O sleeper? Isn't it in the Bible? Wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine upon you. Beloved, we live in slumbering times. When Israel left the wilderness and they came into the promised land, the Bible says that they became, fat and sleek is the word. They became complacent when they had houses they didn't build, cisterns they didn't dig, vineyards they didn't plant. Beloved, even though we live in some difficult times, we are like that. We are like that. I would argue, would you mind me taking my tie off? I would argue because we live in times of affluence, it's easy for us to be wooed away from the Word of God and to chase the words of men. I would argue if large-scale persecution came to the American church, people would no longer care if you had a cafe latte machine at the church. If large-scale persecution came to the church, they wouldn't care if you had a Tai Chi class or a weightlifting or a Kung Fu class. The only thing they would want is the Bible, the sacraments. We would just want the Word. But when we grow fat and lazy and worldly, we clamor for these other things and we make ourselves prone to fall away from the faith. The Bible clearly means when it says the Spirit of God expressly says that people will fall away. The Old Testament predicted that professing believers would apostatize from the truth of the Lord God. Book of Jeremiah, I'm going to quote chapter 2. Also, the men of Memphis and Tophanes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not done this to yourself by your forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? But now, what are you doing on the road to Egypt to drink the water of the Nile? What are you doing on the road to Assyria to drink the water of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness will correct you. Your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter of you to forsake the Lord your God, and the dread of me is not in you, declares the Lord of hosts. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly says about those who fall away from the truth of Jesus Christ, the true Christ. Matthew 24, at that time, many will fall away. Did you get that? At that time, many will fall away, professing Christians. And they will betray one another and hate one another, professing Christians. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The Apostle John says this about the truth of falling away from the simplicity of Christ crucified. Children, it is the last hour. Just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were really not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown they are not of us. To further aggravate the sin of falling away from the truth of Jesus and adding man-made strictures, man-made laws, the Bible says that these things will happen in the latter times, in the end times, in the fullness of times. The Old Testament is the preaching of Jesus Christ in type and shadow. We know it clearly because we look at it through Christological New Testament lenses. If you were in the Old Testament only and you didn't have the New Testament, would you see Christ as clearly? No. What this is saying is in the fullness of time, when the Son of God has come, clearly portrayed as paying for sins on the cross, that's when these people come along and say, oh no, it's Jesus plus your celibacy. It's Jesus plus your food laws that will get you into heaven. You see that? It's an aggravation of the sins. And so we're being told these things. Now I want to consider the who, the why, and the how these apostates fall away from the truth of the gospel. I think likely in view of those who fall away from the truth of the gospel are likely false teachers. We're told here that they're teaching things which are contrary to the truth of Christ. There are teachers adding these things and teaching them in the church. And very likely, the teacher in view is the minister or the elder. The herald of God has been called by God to only proclaim the word of God. Both law and gospel. He has nothing else. His whole call by God is to be faithful to the word. That's it. In being called by God to call sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think is the highest calling there is. Now, it will kill you, but it's the highest calling that there is. And you can do great good. You can tell sinners that there's hope in Jesus, and that there's peace in Jesus, and that there's holiness in Jesus. But a false teacher is the most wicked tool in the hands of the devil that exists. Imagine what this fellow is doing. He's proclaiming as truth a lie. He's proclaiming as truth a lie. And people are believing him. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No meat on Friday on days of holy obligations. That's right. No, celibacy is much better. Virginity is much better. You earn righteousness by it, much better than marriage. That's right. Yes. And what are you leaving, beloved? Jesus. You're leaving Jesus paid it all in favor of that. An unconverted minister is the most wicked instrument of the devil there is. And he's leading people away from the truth of Christ. So the first person in view that's an apostate is the false preacher. Jesus says many false prophets go out. What does that require for you and for me as believers? When Jesus says many false prophets are out there preaching a false Christ, a false gospel, what does that behoove us to do? Test every spirit. Get your Bible out. Don't just turn on the YouTube or go to any old church and just open up your heart, open up your mind. Is it the Word of God? Is it the Christ of God? Is it the true gospel? Know what the true gospel is and reject anything that's an addition to it, even if it sounds good or benign. And the second kind of person that's an apostate, that's teaching a false gospel or error, is a false church member. It's not just a potential unconverted pastor that causes damage to the church. There are unconverted church members that teach apostasy. And how do they do it? They teach a false gospel. How do they do it? Hey, you know what the pastor said up there today? Jesus alone, the blood of Jesus alone, justification by faith alone. Don't listen to him. Sister Sally comes on at 10 o'clock. You should listen to her. She's awesome. Here, you want a book by Pope Paul II? Go listen to him. He's awesome. Really good. You think that stuff doesn't go on in churches? The church members are busy working against a faithful pulpit ministry teaching error. That's exactly what happens. They're teaching the doctrines of demons, thinking they're teaching the truth, but they're teaching a lie. So that's the who of what's going on. And God says this about such people in the book of Acts. I'm sorry, I'm using the language I'm using, but it's the essence of what we're looking at. About these people, God says this in the book of Acts. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now listen to this. Paul says this. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's what's going on. And God warns us. You see, beloved, what attracts people to food strictures, bodily strictures, is really an aversion to the cross. It's a hatred or an offense of the cross. The Apostle Paul says, I glory in nothing except the cross of Jesus. Why is the cross so offensive? When we think of what the cross teaches, the substitutionary atoning blood sacrifice of Jesus, or else we go to hell. What's so offensive to that, to the natural man, even people in the church? You mean I'm a bad person? Yes. How bad? Very bad. There's nothing I can do to save myself? No. The only one that can save me is the blood of Jesus? Yes. Or else I'm lost? Yes. No. No, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that. I said 5 Hail Marys today, 3 acts of contrition. I flagellated myself 6 times, and I only ate fish on Fridays. I'm not as bad as you. That's righteousness. That's graced works. Beloved, of course I'm using the church of my youth. I'm using my own background. You use your own. It goes on in the church. And that's what happens. It's because people don't want Christ alone. They don't want Christ alone. But beloved, it's only Christ. Now look at what God calls the people that are falling away, apostates. Look at what God calls them. He calls them what? Hypocrites. Liars. Do you know what apostate Christians call themselves and other people call them? Christian, reverend, righteous reverend, holy doctor, reverend, brother, sister. You see, a great many Christians would say, no, that's not true. God never calls anybody a hypocrite, never does. Never calls anybody a liar. Do you mean the guy that writes these wonderful books on how to flagellate yourself, to mortify your flesh? I'm using the language of Colossians chapter 2, verses 30 to 33. And he lives this amazingly godly life. He's a celibate. Amazing. He's a celibate. Wow. A so-called celibate. No meat. Next to what? What are you going to give up for Lent? In my family, you know what was common to give up for Lent? Really entering into the sufferings of Jesus. Eating chocolate. That's a joke, beloved. That's a joke. That's a trampling on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, I'm going to forsake chocolate. versus the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm going to be a celibate versus the blood of the Lamb of God. That's a trampling upon the cross. God will look at these people, false pastors, false Christians, God will look at them and say, you're a liar. God will say, you are not a Christian. Beloved, if you think I'm off base, I promise I'm not. This is to keep the people of God following the Christ of God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I do? And what will Jesus say? I never knew you. You were trusting in yourself. You were trusting in your man-made religion. You weren't trusting in the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, God calls them liars, false Christians. He calls their teaching the doctrine of demons. If you were to look at this, just at its face, so food, strictures, and celibacy is the doctrine of demons? Beloved, I'm going to quote the Bible to you, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10. If you want to eat only vegetables, have a field day. If you want to go on a carnivore diet, have a field day. I mean, your cholesterol level is going to go through the roof, but have a field day. There's no religious benefit by eating only vegetables, eating only meat. If in God's providence you're married, praise God. If in God's providence you're single, praise God. Left to themselves, they're benign. But what makes them evil is they're not left to themselves. There's religious significance attached to it. I'm going to heaven because of my food strictures. I'm going to heaven because I'm in a special status in the church. I'm a celibate. Beloved, there are many false prophets teaching many false Christs by people that call themselves Christians, and people are falling away in droves from the simplicity of Christ crucified. Test every spirit, love Christ, love his gospel, glory only in the cross, and the Holy Spirit will keep you near. May God be pleased with the preaching of his word.